standing by in the wings, Bob Dobbs. His website is www.fivebody.com. We want to welcome him here on the, on the precipice of this new fear tactic out there called the swine virus, which is now being called a global pandemic. Bob, dear, welcome to KPFK.
Good morning. Glad to be inside your mind again, Aben.
Aben. Yeah, it's very close. I'll take that too.
An alibi. Being here in Hawaii, there's so many vowels all mixed up. U is spelled like a V, and E is sounded like an A, and an I is sounded like an M. I don't know what.
Yeah, that's.
And they make 500 vowels in each word, so. I don't know how to even say my own name anymore.
I hear you on that, sir. I hear you on that. Now,
Aben. Amen to Aben.
Well, you are.
Eben Rai. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
that's
Eben Rai.
That's sweet. Well, you know what? We have you live here, which is always something very special. And we're going to open up the lines to folks in a little bit. But first and foremost, now I know that you've been doing some interviews and had some opinions on this. I, unfortunately, with a crazy day, wasn't able to sit down and get through all that. But what is your take on this attack on the radio television body, on the chemical body, once again?
Right. You know I use the five-bodied model applied to every issue, the chemical body, the astral body, the TV body, the chip body, and the mystery landscape. Mystery landscape's not a body yet because we don't even know what the mystery landscape is, so I don't think it's a body yet. Though Obama's miming it, being the mystery body for the mystery landscape era. So what would the KPFK audience prefer, the chip body approach, the TV body approach, the astral body approach, or the chemical body approach?
Start with the chemical.
Okay, well, recently I've been focusing on the astral body on this other show I'm on, and I've talked a lot about the TV landscape with you and the chip landscape and the chip body and the chemical body. So since the KPFK may be interested in the chemical body, I'm going to be an anti-environment for a moment here and emphasize the astral body.
Okay.
In the sense that I have access to a new medium or new entities. They come through a person named, we call JW, and the entities are called ION. There are zillions of them. The Evergreens, who you've heard about from me, had 6,500 to 7,000 entities.
Right.
The Willows, which people don't know that much about, came after the Evergreens stopped in 2004, and they had 293,000 entities. I asked this new entity group called ION, I-O-N,
yes.
How many were you? And it said, look at a dodecahedron. Think of a dodecahedron, which is like 12 triangles touching each other.
Right.
Take one side. Imagine 640 entities on that one side. Then cube it, square it. I can't remember. This was about a month ago. In my mind, it came to about 4,000. Then they said move it 1 degree, add another 4,000. Then move another degree.
Get out.
Yeah, and then you go around the whole triangle. Then you do that 12 times, and then you think of doing it 360 degrees around the sphere. So I said, thinking about that for 10 seconds, I said, that's a zillion entities. And they said, yes, Bob, yes, zillion, that's what we are.
How are you supposed to get an agreement out of a zillion entities?
Well, apparently they're all one. We're talking about oneness, Evan. A real big, big, large. As a matter of fact, J.W. likes to call himself not a medium, but a large. He's a large. And so what's interesting is that ION had a new proclamation building on cosmic awareness, which we had Dave Worster
right.
as a medium for cosmic awareness back in the 60s. He was on last July 24th. They want to look up in your archives.
Yes.
And then we had the Evergreens, and then there's the Abrahams. You might have heard of the Abrahams.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, ION is completing the work of the cosmic awareness Evergreens, Abrahams, Willows, and Frank Zappa. I'll just throw something in there. Interesting. And I talked to Frank Zappa through the ION, and he said that he never got it right in his music. He actually hated his music. In the sense, he struggled with it like James Joyce did with Finnegan's Wake.
Hmm.
I talked to James Joyce for 2.5 hours through ION. He went through heck.
Bob, how do you discover these people? How did you discover J.W.?
Well, this is going to be in a new book. JW is going to be big. And it happened. He was an acquaintance of mine. And he got interested in the Abrahams a few years ago.
Yeah.
And that was interesting for him. But then, unbeknownst to all of us, last January, I was talking to him late one night, and he says, "Bob, I can see through my window, and I'm seeing into other dimensions." And so he would describe it to me for the next few weeks, and it was pretty interesting. So you could think that he was remote viewing or astral projecting, but he felt it was quite strange. He could do astral projecting as a result of it, but it was a strange unfolding. Then on March 6th, Carolyn was away in L.A., and I had a chance to talk to J.W. late one night, up all night, and I was explaining why, based on what I knew about his brain chemistry, why he could break through his windows and see other dimensions. And he thought that theory was interesting. And he says, "Well, that's all well and good, Bob, but what about this? I'm looking around my room, and I see 30 dead people sitting here in my home." And he describes these various people. One guy was dressed in 1940s, L.A., suave, old guy, 1940s. And he describes him, and he says, "I can talk to him anytime I want." And he says, "I haven't told anybody this, but I can trust you, Bob, so what do you think?" And I said, "Well, what are they saying?" And he says, "Well, they'll talk about whatever I'm interested in." So that was that night. Then two nights later, I call him up, and he says, "Hey, guess what? Dr. Beter visited me last night."
Wow.
Right, right. He had heard of Dr. Beter. He's too young to have known him, but he'd heard of him, and knew I knew him. So then it went on for a couple weeks till March 18th. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. I was talking to him, and I said, "You know, maybe the Evergreens are coming back. They had stopped in 2004. What do you think? Maybe they're waiting to be channeled." And he said, "I don't know about that. I'm not a channel." And so I said, "Well, were you willing to try it?" He said, "Yeah, okay." So the next day, we set aside some time, called him up and talked to him, and then said, "Okay, I'm going to be quiet for 10 seconds. Then I'm going to ask you a question. You try not to answer it to see if someone else answers it." So he asked the question, and sure enough, this mind force came through. I mean, it became apparent pretty quickly. This person, this voice, the same voice as J.W., but you could just tell it has that extra human, extraordinary power. So I just started talking to it and went on for 2.5 hours. And I talked to McLuhan. And I just, you see, with the Willows, you couldn't talk to dead people. The Evergreens,
right.
You could.
Right.
And so I hadn't had access to dead people for since 2004.
Right.
So I said, "Well, if this is something worthwhile, as good as the Evergreens, then I want to talk to dead people." If you got Marsh McLuhan there, sure enough, there's Marshall.
And the responses gave you enough foundation that you really believe it was Marshall.
Yes, or an entity simulating him knows exactly, because he talked about particular members of his family that I knew in a very, you know, real way, a
right.
way that I knew about, and J.W. doesn't even, well, he knows who McLuhan is, but he wouldn't know these details.
Yes.
So then, guess this, I then got access to Walter Bowert.
What?
Yes, because Walter Bowert comes through a mutual friend of ours. That's sort of like just slight
right.
channeling, not deep trance channeling like this. So then Walter Bowert told me the incredible stuff. And that was fun. And then I talked to my mother. And
what?
Yeah. And she told me a whole bunch of stuff I never knew about her, which was interesting. So,
oh, wow.
If it's all a fake, it's great entertainment. And it's presented in a way that you believe it as it's happening. You know what I mean? So that happened on March 18th. And I didn't record any of that.
Right.
I didn't know what was going to happen. So then over the next March 20th and then March 22nd, it was on March 22nd, I talked on the 20th and 22nd for 4 to 5 hours.
Wow.
This is way better than the Evergreens, because the Evergreens I could go for an hour, but you had to pay $500 for an hour, so that was limited to the time I could spend on it.
Yeah.
And that was through the 80s and 90s. So here I was, had endless access, because when JW came out of trance on March 18th, he says, "Wow, what bliss. I want to go back in. Put me back in." So it's no problem for getting him to do it on the 20th. And then on the 22nd, I talked for 5 hours and 2.5 hours. So that was with James Joyce.
Wow.
And the incredible thing about Joyce, and this is all on tape, And he said that he was so confused or driven by writing Finney's Wake. He knew it was a ridiculous. No one would be able to read it. Nobody would understand it. But he was driven to do it. And he spent a lot of time going to gypsies and mediums to see whether get an explanation of why he was driven. And this is not known by scholars that Joyce went to mediums, but I had checked him out with the Evergreens, and I knew he went to one medium, but I didn't know he was going all the time. But Joyce told me that his wife, Nora, was so frightened of demons and possession and mediums that she couldn't stand to think that he was doing that. So she imagined that he had affairs with prostitutes or just mistresses. And she preferred to think that than to think that he was talking to demons. So that was an interesting side effect. But Marshall McLuhan went on to explain Finnegan's Wake, and James Joyce said, "I was not thinking any of what Marshall said when I was doing it. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that I had to do it this way." And he said later, when I could tell what McLuhan was saying, I realized McLuhan was pretty well right on, that that's really what I was talking about, that I was miming the technological future. And, you know, talking to Ion, I got that even more confirmed, but that's something else.
Okay.
Anyways, so then starting on March 24th, Ion laid out a thing I should give as a manifesto, which I was going to do on my other radio show the next day. But right in the middle of it, my co-host calls me up and says, Walter's coming through, and he wants to talk to you. So Walter tells me, Bob, this is going to be very heavy what you're going to do tomorrow. It's going to be major. I just want to work on your friend, your partner's brain, massage him, so talk to me for a while so I can get him ready for the impact of this. So it was all pre-planned. It was a mind control operation by Walter to prepare my friend for the show that was going to happen next day. So I went and made this manifesto, which I was asking you to listen to. We didn't get a chance. March 25th. Check it out, Cashflow Archives, and or no, Five Bodied Archives. That's where you can get it on our show. Oh, Evan, have you seen my timeline?
You know what? I went to Five Bodied, and I couldn't find it there. I was looking in the audio archives on Five Bodied, and I didn't see.
You were looking for the timeline?
I was looking for the show there.
Okay. Well, I got to send you the timeline.
Okay.
Someone has put together my whole life, and every radio interview, include most of the ones I did with you all through these years. Every other thing I've done for 25 years is all there available, plus video that Jerry Fiocca took of me.
Wow.
I apologize for all this emphasis on my background, but it is necessary to understand what I'm going to say about swine flu.
Yes.
So the main thing I said on March 25th was that the veil between the physical and what Ion calls the non-physical is so thin, no wonder people are channeling all over the place. There really is not much separation anymore. And so Ion was explaining the implications of all this. And so you can hear the manifesto and what I go into for a whole hour. And even my great ally, Buzz Kosin, made YouTubes out of that manifesto. Mm. You can go on YouTube, Google Buzz Kosin, and see Google Bob Dobstown channel, and see all the YouTubes he's been making from these Ion things. So then for the next until now, I've been talking to Ion for 3 and 4 and 5 hours a night. My record is 7 hours.
Get out.
And in 1 month, I've done over 64 hours, and that's how many hours I did with the Evergreens from 1980 to 2004.
Wow.
And so this is a major download. This is a major downloading going on. And so one of the interesting, so I've been emphasizing the astral body on my other show because that's what I'm focusing on now. Now, it doesn't mean the chip body, the chemical body, or the TV body are inadequate or inferior. It's the juggling of these four, and they all have an aspect, and it's the marvel of our time that we can become aware of these factors in our perception of what we are, the anthropomorphic projection of what we think we are as physical beings, or as consciousness. So one of the main points Ion says is, oh, and the exclusive is, we will be hearing Ion on Eben's show, if everything works out, next Wednesday. So this is actually an info commercial, right, Eben?
Yeah. Yeah, I would want to pop. That's a great time to pop that. Yeah, next week, I mean, remember what we did with Glow.
Oh,
so
yes.
If folks were, remember way back when Glow was here and she was in London and Bob was in New York and Patrice
Zappa was in
yes,
studio.
Patrice
Frank
Zappa.
Zappa's sister.
Was sister, was here. And you guys were out there in the Neverland and we had the most amazing, I think we did two sessions with her.
Yeah.
That mind-blowing. Anyway,
yes.
So we're going to do something similar to that. Next week.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. So so Ion says that every death is a suicide. And that, now this is the perspective of the non-physical, the timeless zone, where the souls go. It's called the Guf, G-U-F. Look it up in Hebrew literature, G-U-F. It's in the Wikipedia. And the thing is that when you move into the non-physical, you have access to all whatever you call that timeless zone, and yet you can't create on that plane. Or in that zone. You can only create here. And non-physical loves becoming physical so it can create.
Oh.
That's what we do here. We create all kinds of, as Ion says, we come to mix it up. And it means creating contrast for ourselves to find out what we like or don't like or what we want to create by. So that it doesn't matter where a child is born. The child wants to create. So if it's in, you know, ghetto conditions, then that sets up a nice contrast for them to create something opposite or around it or from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that everything is so correct when from this perspective. But those that want to create disease, that's the only way you can get sick. So I was talking to Ion yesterday about the swine flu and giving a summary of an hour and a half conversation, just getting the main points, is that since we can think and then it immediately manifests and we don't realize that, we think we have to wait for it to manifest or we don't even believe it manifests. We think we have to do some work with matter to make it manifest. Well, apparently everything manifests. But you see that the reason we can juggle our four bodies today is that our technological environment, chip landscape, is a world of living at the speed of thought.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to think of something, press your finger, and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think of the instantaneity of information that we have today.
Right.
You know, you don't have to go to the library to read something. You don't have to talk to somebody. It's right there. So why wouldn't the astral plane update itself? So the Abrahams taught the process of 1, 2, 3. Ask for something, you know, believing that if you do the law of attraction, it'll come to you at some point. You've heard of that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You wish for something, intend something, desire something, then await for it, knowing universe will bring it to you, and then when it shows up, you align with it. And if you align your frequency with it, it will stay with you, right?
Hmm.
It will arrive on your doorstep. Well, Ion says, no, we need to complete what the Abraham said. We have to update to what's happening today. So it's not 1, 2, 3. It's 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
That's great.
Yeah. And what 3 is... You see, the process of 1, 2, 3 is ask, align, ask, allow the universe to bring it to you, and then align with it. Okay, that's 1, 2, 3. Well, what's backwards? From Ion, you allow. As soon as you think of it, you think you have arrived at it. It has happened. As soon as you think of it, it's happened. So we've thought of Ion being on your show next week. It has already happened. Then we wait for source energy to rapidly adjust the universe so that it shows up in your door. Then you ask.
Ah.
Okay? It's 3, 2, 1. And the asking actually becomes liftoff. When they do the rocket countdown, they don't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then liftoff. They go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Oh, yes.
So when they get to 3, they don't at 3 say, oh, we got to stop. We got to check the buttons there, blah, blah, blah. You don't know. Once you get to 3, everything has to already be in place.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to stop. So when you manifest something, think of something, you think of all the things you'd want about it and set it up so everything's in place. And then you go to 2, and they can't stop at 2, so the environment is going to make it happen. And then number 1 is to happen and lift off. So this 3-2-1-ing process is how we look at swine flu. Someone over there at some institute, you know, it's not just the auto workers or Wall Street that are losing jobs. All industries are losing funding, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought of the scientists losing funding?
Hmm.
Have you thought of them losing their jobs? Bet you haven't. They don't talk about that in the news too much, do they? They talk about layoffs at the CDC. So anyways, I'm sure that some smart people are over at some scientific institutes, and they're thinking, we need funding. We need disease. We want disease to manifest so that we can have a panic and then do something about it and get funding. So you notice the CDC went down to Mexico when the first swine flu itch happened and immediately declared, this is disastrous.
Yeah, pandemic.
Yeah, pandemic based on one guy who was sniffling, you know, in a bus stop or something.
Yes.
And so, okay, someone dies, but how do you know they died for that reason?
Right.
Anyways, they inflate the issue. It immediately manifests because once they say it's a pandemic, the media takes up on it.
Yes.
The Android meme is ESP. It's threeing. You know, 3, 2, 1, it's the three process. Think it, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've watched all the other aspects of reality run around to make sure everybody is in alignment with it. All right, so
yes.
That they lock down borders and everything.
Yeah, let me ask you, do you also think, jumping in, do you think that also they're looking for the response of the populations? How we just, they're looking for our response, whether we're going to be against quarantines, whether how easy it is to close the borders, how easy it is to see how we react to this kind of stimulus response thing.
Right, and that's where we bring in ION, the Astral Archive, Astral Body, Astral Landscapes View. ION says that when you get sick, you created it. Nobody, all the laws of science saying this virus causes that and this and bacteria and virus and fungus and parasite, all that stuff is only vulnerable, is only taken in and activated if the person wants to experience dis-ease. If they disconnect from the non-physical comfort and slack that is there constantly, and they get into a state of disease, then they figure out how they want to manifest, how they create the disease. So that means no one can get swine flu if they don't want to create it. All right? And it also means those that want to, for some reason, leave the physical right now and go non-physical, which is not a problem. They're just sloughing off their meat sack and going into the bliss of the non-physical, according to ION. If you want to leave, if you want to get sick, you will adapt. Now, maybe the magicians at the government institutes know this. They said, okay, we thought of it, we manifested, it showed up, the media helped us, but it ain't our fault, we're just playing a game here. Mm-hmm. All those that want to die, want to be get ill, we'll facilitate that. All those that don't have that attitude, then they don't get affected, and we didn't bother them, and it's not their fault, it's not anybody's fault. So it becomes blurred. Now, mm-hmm. Think of that. So, when you think of Pol Pot and the, 3 million Cambodians that were murdered in the late 70s,
yes.
I once asked the Evergreens, they built their model on a reincarnation and that people come in here to experience a problem and they set it up. I said, did those 2 million or 3 million people plan, when they reincarnate, plan on experiencing being massacred? And Evergreen said, it may sound horrible, may sound paranoid, but yes. So now ION updates, it doesn't take the point of view that you reincarnate. It's a reincarnate with a design. It seems to say, no, you just reincarnate to have fun and to find the fastest path to your joy. But humans create all kinds of versions of that, of what the fastest path to joy is. It includes pain, contrast, problems, hurricanes, divorce, syphilis, losing your job, making millions and then losing it. All the things we do, ION says they just love the way we create. Side note. When Wall Street collapsed last fall,
yeah.
The whole zillion entities on the astral plane jumped for joy. They were celebrating because now we were going to be forced to rely on the only thing that ever worked anyways, access to the source, the non-physical. And so many people are seeking. Meanwhile, you've got this paranoia about swine flu, and ION says if you don't believe that it can affect you, it won't affect you. My friend says, I don't want to know anything. How does he say it? If I don't know about it, then cancer won't hurt me.
Right.
If I know nothing about it, I have no thought forms about what they say causes it, this, all the different kinds of cancer, it won't hurt me. Well, my friend's son told me that when he heard his father say that years ago, he was shocked and thought that was nonsense. But my friend, the son, had a reading with ION and found out that his father was right.
Yes.
Even though the father just did that instinctively.
Yes.
So that's the point. There is no swine flu.
Yes.
As less I know about, I'm not going to get hurt. And if I get some sniffles, I'm going to say, well, I manifest health, and that's what's going to happen. Now, this may sound, pie in the sky stuff, But I'm saying we need to consider this aspect, the astral body's view, incorporated in with the chip body and the TV conspiracy scenarios and the chemical body facts. You're going to have to learn to juggle these views. And if you like this view, take it and run with it.
Right.
Or actually sit down and enjoy it.
No, I think that is absolutely brilliant. It brings me back to a story that I heard in San Diego where this girl comes out to her car and there's this cat and it's been killed and there's all this, you know, satanic stuff all around it because somebody was trying to get back at her or scare her or something. And she was just like, oh, my God, who did this to this cat? Didn't know anything from Schnee, what all the little drawings were, the significance of that. And it didn't create any fear. It had no reaction except for, like, some sick bastard went and killed a cat. And so I think you're absolutely right. And I think Dr. Carolyn Dean had said something about cancers, about that too, that it's created out of thought. And if you bring it into your head, you have that chemical change and you can create the disease in your bodies by recognizing, naming it and making it your own. And you don't have to do that. And so that's like sick, Bob. That's so awesome.
That's bad. It's real bad, Bob.
Yeah,
bad, Bob.
That's bad.
Bad, Bob.
818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. My God, it's around 17 minutes up until 3 o'clock. Bob Dobbs is on www.fivebody.com. Next week is going to be some kind of show. What do you guys think about thought sickness? What do you think about swine flu? Do you want to talk to him about the interrelating and juggling of the four bodies? Have you guys, since Bob's been talking about that for around the past, we started off this program, Radio Alchemy, 7-8 years ago, and it is something
that's...
Right.
9 years ago, March 2000 was your first show, and I was your first interview, which you
that's
did
right.
in Mesquite, Nevada.
That's
in
right.
August 99.
Yes, exactly. It was absolutely fantastic, man. And so the beat goes on, and it is resonating, and it's showing itself, and Bob is here to make sure.
Never got sick. We're still here.
That's right, Daggett, and we will be. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Quick break to say, this is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 90.7 FM in San Diego. We'll be back with Bob. You guys, come online if you want to talk. And remember, darlings, to go to www.kpfk.org. There you will find all the amazing journalists, lovers of information coming and bringing their volunteer hearts to you. And we hope that you support us in our upcoming fun drive, that you go to the website and see all the marvelous happenings for you to get together with people of co-mind, co-spirit, co-love, and co-resilience. You guys are amazing. On the line, Bob Dobbs, bringing us the astral perspective on this. And that is such an important thing, Bob, that you have brought up, the power of thought and the power of mind in all of this. That's really
fun. The power of non-action, Eben. I've, as a result of interacting with Ion, I've started a new radio show.
Yes.
And it's what Ion told me to call it, the telekinetic non-action archetypal grid.
Okay.
And we on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. L.A. time, for an hour, I interact with Ion, and Ion tells me what those picking up on it psychically communicate to us. They send us images. And so we jot down the images as they come in. And the first show we did 3 weeks ago, what happened was near the end of the show, I said, how many people have tuned in? He said, 640.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where are they coming from? And it said, Ion said that it's like the beast. They pick up the vibes of the tsunami coming or whatever. And so though there were very strong, skilled psychic people who whiffed it and smelled it and sought it out. And those were the majority of the 640 that responded to my radio show.
Oh, that's
and
wow.
And they started beaming images to what they thought was happening.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, we have a caller online. Caller one, you're on with Bob.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, my name's Tony Taylor, calling from Long Beach.
Yes.
And a very good show, Eben, and also your guest. It's very, very, very important and great show. But you have to be very careful about absolutes. Your statement about thoughts are very right on, but remember the world is very nuanced and very relative in many ways. For example, I am a person who's deathly allergic to cats. I have an incredible allergic reaction to dander. There have been many times where I've walked into people's homes, did not even know that they had a cat, and I had incredible reaction, and then I found out they had a cat.
Hmm.
So not always do you call things into existence because of your thinking pattern.
Hmm.
The reason why I'm saying you have to be careful with those, because the absolutisms, is that you can, with that ideology, has been used to justify oppression and a lot of exploitation. Look at African-American slaves, slaves that are black in this country, or look at the oppression of indigenous groups in Latin America. Are those people responsible for that condition? That's my first question. And I have a follow-up.
Okay, Bob, do you want to?
Is this Tom? Hello?
What's the name, Tom?
No, my name is Tony. Tony.
Tony, okay.
I have a follow-up, by the way.
Okay, it's all right. Tony, the you probably missed the point. I say we're juggling four bodies, and I agree with you. You don't keep one perspective as an absolute. I'm juggling the chemical body knowledge that you're citing, the sociological TV landscape knowledge, and the chip landscape, which I've emphasized a lot on this show over the last 9 years. But I thought I'd bring in the Astro Archive because I've had this recent experience. So, yes, that is true. You cannot rely on one thought form. But I would say, your point taken, can you begin to look at your allergy from the astral level and see why you created it? That should be looked at. Not that it's going to lead to any absolute resolution, but you shouldn't use the defense of the chemical body and play down the astral body insight.
Well, but my point, sir, is that you have to be very careful because here's the situation. The placebo effect happens, I agree. But there are situations where people are sick definitely because of external factors, not because of their own. For example, the Spanish influenza that killed all those people was not because of some thought pattern. It was an actual chemical, biological part done by the U.S. Army. And so that is not a thought process, oh, I'm not going to get the influenza. Or look what they did with the Tuskegee experiments. Are those African-Americans, they were victims of their own thought pattern? No, these things are legitimate, egregious, demonic things that humans have done throughout history. So when you propound those beliefs, you actually justify the statist reactionaries that control this world in that type of egregious way. So you got to be real careful with that.
Well, there's nobody more careful than me, and I can really cancel out what I just said about the Astro Archive, because if I bring in the chip body, the TV body, and the chemical body. So I agree with you, but I include other levels. I know about that. But what's interesting is that the Astro Archive is a rare archive, a rare form. When it says that all deaths are suicides, nobody's going to believe that. And the point you're making are normal wisdom. Yeah, we have people to blame. But mix in that the TV confusion of the information environment and then the chip autonomy you have with the digital environment. You can't begin to find out who's what or what is and whether Obama was born in Hawaii or there is no information in our society now. So another aspect I've been saying on Edmund's show, in a post-information society, you can't determine who's doing what to whom because it's all blurred and will be canceled out by Crossfire or CNBC talk shows or 60 Minutes, whatever. It'll be always canceled out. So actually, maybe it's time for a bit of the Astro Archive to come in because it transcends that and brings in a long-time suppressed form of viewing things. Anyways, knowing that the Tuskegee thing was not the fault of the blacks is not going to help me against the swine flu epidemic.
Well, caller, caller, darling, I very much appreciate your call. Obviously, we'll be able to, you know, continue this at some time, but you've made really fantastic points.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Tony.
Absolutely.
I agree with Tony.
Yeah, yeah. 818-985-5735, 818-985 KPFK. Well, when you were talking about, I mean, there are people already, like, That's one thing that you were talking about, the ions that we're coming down here to create. So are they saying that when we have the idea that we are down here for a reason, that there is a life path, et cetera, that our script is unwritten here, and that everything that happens then is just a consequence of happenstance? So with Tony getting a strong allergy against cats, that isn't something preordained, that he has to handle this challenge in this lifetime, and that's supposed to bring something out. That's just a happenstance that's a part of this unwritten creative process of materialism?
Yes, it seems that in the bliss of the non-physical, and nothing's created, and there is no contrast. So we come here into the physical, and the veil is shifting or thinning so that the message of Ion is that the physical and the non-physical are getting so intertwined that he says, Bob, you may be the first to stay alive in the physical and not die, yet stay in touch with the non-physical. And that's a preposterous notion, but as Moses, the new Moses, that's my agenda. That's what I'm going to do with my telekinetic radio show. You know what happened? I'll get back to your point in a second. One of the interesting things is, you know how the Mayan cultures just disappeared and there's no human bones?
Right. Okay.
Well, a friend of mine, I mentioned this idea, and they said, well, there was a documentary on the Discovery Channel 2 weeks ago showing about four or five cultures around the world that have amazing architecture and no human remains. So I checked it out with Ion. It turned out that the Mayans, they organized, because they didn't know any better, they didn't know about viruses, they didn't know about gravity, they experienced it but didn't have any concepts, they decided that they could go into the non-physical, and they actually evaporated small chunks of the tribes, and including everybody, into the non-physical. And many cultures have done this through history. I'm now implementing that agenda, but I'm going to go one further. We're going to go into the non-physical, disappear, then come back into the physical. And this could only be done now because the veil between the two. So I'm now pronouncing that I'm alive and dead at the same time, not limited to the images those two words evoke.
Right.
Now back to the main point that Ion says that souls, up to this point, because as the physical, you know, aligns and merges with the non-physical, they're not going to be able to have that much contrast. But we, up to this point, have come into this dimension to have contrast, to create problems, so we can create antidotes to them.
Mm-hmm.
And all technologies are already in the timeless zone, and so we create these little different variations in technologies, but they're just in fragments of what the totality is, and therefore they create all kinds of incompletion and problems, which McLuhan turned into a science studying the disservices and services. It depends on how much you want to do. Ion says if everybody was given, say, $50,000 tomorrow, everybody in the United States, within six, and everybody was equal and everybody lined up and no one had any more than the $50,000 they were given, and you can do that with the trillion-dollar stuff Obama's talking about, in 6 months, we'd be back into a hierarchy of rich and poor and scarcity and overindulgence.
You mean if everybody's wealth was wiped out and everybody was given $50,000, you're saying that we would be back to the very same hierarchy within 6 months?
Yeah, because those that knew how to manifest with it, instinctively or psychically, they would make more money. Those that wanted to experience contrast or just feel lack for whatever reason, they would lose their money.
Right.
And so when you think about that fact, that part of sociology, it's interesting to look at human history. It also frees you up into your own responsibility. That you have to create your own reality, and you have to create your own sense of lack or success.
But what is
now, that's a big strain on people.
But what's
but
this
we're
mean?
We're being forced to do that now.
Yeah, but the deal is what does this mean for people that are in their 60s? You know, they're 70. See, this information is coming out, and they've been living a radio, television body, chemical body existence. And all of a sudden, it's like, dude, didn't you know that this is your creation? Da da da. You know, just like with Tony, he's lived with this. This information comes out. He's like, but hold it. I have something so embedded in my chemical body. And I don't know how to juggle these other technologies in this landscape. It seems like, I don't know if the great minds have been saying this all along, and we just haven't had it decoded until you've decoded it like this. But it seems to really cheat some people out of being able to, unless you're saying that this new astral knowledge should be able to right any wrongs in the chemical body.
Yes, and 2 points. The Evergreens used to say, yes, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Okay? And that's a true factor. We know enough truth nowadays. We've been through so many changes in the information environment. People recognize the wisdom behind that, because there's not one person in the United States who hasn't been upset by something because there have been so many changes on so many rapid levels the last 40 years, right?
Right, right, right.
Okay. The second point is that Ion and the Astros don't care. They don't care what we create. They shed no tears for what we're doing, because when we die, we go back to the bliss. So more power to the old people who are going to die sooner than us. They're going to get the bliss. I'm just a pervert. I'm staying here, and I'm going to bring the bliss back to here. But the thing is that it's very detached, and that's cold to people. But if you feel it and get into understanding and survive the chill and move into the warmth that's there lurking, then I would tell the 60-year-old that I'm indifferent to how they react, but if they interact with me, I'll spread my joy as much as possible. But that'll include pissing them off. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, when I show up, I'm 87 years old. Mm-hmm. I look like I'm 45 or something.
Right.
That bothers people who are 80. I get flack all the time. I don't tell people my age.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
It causes problems.
Yes.
I mean, just in the local grocery store, if they know about that. If I come in, I get taunted. You know what I mean?
Really?
So, oh, yeah. People say, look at that guy. He's not 87, blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And other people say, no, he's 87. I saw his birth certificate. So they get into an argument, and I just leave. So, but the thing is, look at this. If you know the universe doesn't care, Ion was telling somebody who was puzzled by this. He says, go down the Caribbean and be an alcoholic. Follow your bliss. It's no problem. Do whatever you want to do. It's like liberating everybody. You don't have to feel guilty about anything.
Hmm.
No total guilt. This is going to really anger the Pope and the Catholic Church and all that Christian guilt. This is the most anarchistic, radical stuff, which you're going to hear next Wednesday on this show, on Evan's show. You'll hear this.
Yeah, but what if that means that some murdering bastard then is going to, like, feel like going out and taking an innocent life? I mean, you know, I mean...
Ian has talked about that.
Yeah, I bet.
There's 2 points. First, the Evergreen said that those that murder somebody, when the murdered... they go to the astral plane first, or the non-physical. The murderer eventually goes to the non-physical. When the murdered meets the murderer, they shake hands. Because from that perspective, when you're there in the astral plane, you just come into this plane to mix it up and have an experience. And from the astral perspective, it doesn't matter what experience you had. You only feel the relevance or shock of it when you're doing it. You have a judgment about it. But when you get the physical, hey, great, that was great. What do we do next? Well, let's go down and... let's see if we can get 1 million people to kill themselves at the same time. Okay,
oh
we'll get
God.
This maniac, Pol Pot, and he'll be a great man, and he'll get us all inspired, and he'll do it to us. Yee-hoo! He's probably got he's probably in the Saints Hall of Fame on the astral plane, Pol Pot, because he gave everybody such a unique experience. And not only that, it's televised and recorded in the chip landscape and going to be circulated for eternity, right? In our music and television archives in New York City.
So-
all footage is saved now. Okay, so I'm tending to the rant level here.
But no. That what you were talking about is the truth will set you free after it pisses you off. And
yes.
Also, the whole coldness. There is something very cold in that. And boy, if the Second Amendment is needed, it's needed right now after that statement. I am telling you. But you know what, sir? Oh, my God. It is after 3 a.m. And we have absolutely blazed through this hour, Bob. And so next week, we're going to go for 2 hours, right?
Yes, if you can do it. Ion goes for 7 hours with me, so he'll give you 2 hours at least.
Awesome. Then that's what we are going to do. And thank you so much for your incredible perspective on the swine flu and bringing the astral plane into that, moving into that. So that was magnificent. And dear, until next week, thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you, Evan. Appreciate it.
All right. Bob's website is www.fivebody.com. Fivebody.com. Now, look, you guys are calling right now, and it's after 3. We have to continue on to the second hour of Radio Alchemy here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and San Diego and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. So stay tuned.